And our next case this morning is case number 093272, Quality Oil versus Kelly Partners. Mr. Roth.
Hey, please, the court, good morning. My name is Fred Roth, and I am here representing the appellant, which is Kelly Partners. This is here as a result of a summary judgment against my client on a supply agreement with Quality Oil. Essence is that we believe that the trial court misinterpreted the terms of the contract under Indiana law, specifically with regard to paragraph 4. For background, Quality Oil advanced $150,000 to Kelly under a supply agreement. The general idea was that Kelly would then purchase at least 85% of their oil-related products from Quality Oil over a period of time, and that if they purchased a certain amount of oil-related products, or 60 months, whichever occurred first, then the contract terminated and they had no obligation to repay any part of the $150,000. The agreement was typed, for the most part, except for the clause which was added and handwritten and initialed on paragraph 4, this supply agreement will terminate after 225,000 gallons and 225,000 filters of Exxon/Mobil is purchased, or 60 months, whichever occurs first. The facts are that about 2 years after this agreement was in force, the Kellys decided to sell their locations in Elgin and Batavia. At the time that they notified Quality Oil, Quality Oil then demanded a balance on the contract based upon their calculation of an amortization of the $150,000 and wanted that money. They refused to consider and did not consent to any transfer of this agreement to the buyers. And as a result, a few months later, they ultimately filed suit in Indiana State Court. The Indiana State Court, at a bench trial, found in their favor. That was appealed on the basis of lack of jurisdiction. The appellate court in Indiana reversed and decided that the court in Indiana did not have jurisdiction. Soon after that, Quality Oil filed an action in federal district court here in Chicago. Had pleadings, had motions for summary judgment. And the court, in its opinion, finding summary judgment against the appellant, Kelly Partners, decided a couple of things which we believe are incorrect. First, they found that this clause, which provided either for a certain amount of product to be purchased or a certain amount of time to expire, was an extraordinary clause and didn't fit or wasn't properly harmonized with the rest of the agreement. Second, they decided that Quality Oil's decision to ask for this amortized amount of the advance when they did was in anticipation of a breach. And our position was there was no breach because Quality Oil was bound by this agreement and could consent or not consent to the transfer of this agreement to the purchaser. They did not consent to the transfer. They did not give the prior written consent to the transfer. As a consequence, my clients remained bound on this agreement after the sale, and they would either have to buy product or, whichever comes first, the 60 months. The 60 months expired in July of 2008, and therefore it's my client's position that they don't owe any balance to Quality Oil. Quality Oil was in charge of making a decision whether to go with this agreement or not. They could agree to this extraordinary clause, as it's been referred to, or not. They could consent to the transfer of this agreement to the buyer or not. They were in control and in a position to dictate what they did. They took their steps and they went to court in Indiana, and prior to that they issued an invoice for an unamortized balance of this amount without regard to their obligations under the contract. It's our position that this extraordinary clause was a clause to protect Kelly's from the actions taken by Quality Oil, those actions which proved to occur but were in breach of the contract as far as we're concerned.
What economic sense does it make to let time alone determine the termination of this contract?
Economic sense to Quality Oil?
Yeah.
Okay. Quality Oil was advancing this money to set up a relationship with two locations. These were quick lube locations. Set up a relationship where these people agreed for the foreseeable future to buy 85% of their oil-related products. Whatever they needed, they had to buy 85% from them, provided that Quality Oil gave competitive prices. That doesn't mean the best price. So what they were essentially doing is buying the business for the future of selling this amount of product, subject to the terms of this agreement. So in that sense, it was kind of a upfront amount to get the business and to have them kind of locked in for the future. They were going to price their oil. They were going to price their arrangement in such a way that they would recoup or make money on, profit by, whatever, based upon selling the products to Quality, selling the products to Kelly, which was required under this contract to buy at least 85%.
Well, they weren't contracting for 60 months of no sales. It's a requirements contract.
Correct. Correct.
So your interpretation, which is to say the interpretation that says this is a contract for 60 months of no sales, if your client wants to read it that way,
well,
no economic sense to Quality Oil at all.
There's no guarantee my client would be in business, remain in business, survive in business, continue in business,
right,
not go bankrupt, not go out of business.
Paragraph 7, the assignment clause, provides for that contingency and says that your client is still liable for the termination penalty, the amortization, if it sells.
That's a three-part section there. We have the right, and you could say obligation, to transfer it to who we sell it to. And if the purchaser doesn't comply with this contract, then we could be liable. However, we can't force Quality Oil to consent to that purchaser. If the purchaser is someone that they don't want the contract to be assigned to for whatever reason, then they have the right to withhold their consent. They wouldn't give us prior written consent here to that assignment. Therefore, our relationship with them remained in place just between us and them. We may open a new location. We may buy more. We may buy less. We may buy or purchase none. But the contemplation of the parties was that there could be a situation where we wouldn't buy anymore. But that's where they were in the position to agree to this transfer to the assignment or withhold their consent. We can't force Quality to accept someone else's agreement to this agreement.
Did your buyer consent to assume this contract?
No, because when we notified Quality Oil that we were selling, they invoiced us for the unamortized portion and demanded that, as it says in the record, monthly invoices every month, and then they sued us for it, saying, you owe us all this money.
So
they didn't want to do any business with the person that bought it from us. That's the essence of it.
So the factual history between the parties is that you didn't ask for Quality Oil's consent to transfer?
We asked for the final invoices of product we had purchased, and they invoiced us for the whole amount of the balance of what they called the unamortized portion. They sent us an invoice for like over $100,000 and said, this is what you owe us.
Okay, so you didn't seek their prior written consent.
Well, at that point, the only thing they wanted from us was $110,000. Correct.
Let me ask this
so
a different way.
We didn't go back to them and say, but do you want these people, or will you accept them? We didn't go through that process.
Now, the contract requires you to do that before you sell.
Well, it says the consent is we cannot assign this contract or delegate our rights without their prior written consent. They need to give us their consent for us to assign this contract. It didn't say we couldn't sell our business. It's just in order to give this contract to someone else, and someone else, you could conceivably
right,
see where they...
You sell the business, you're still on the hook on this contract.
Correct. We were.
Right. And that includes for the unamortized or the unsold oil products.
Only if we violate paragraph 4, which we didn't violate. Paragraph 4 was specifically modified by the handwritten notes to say that it's either amount of product or a time period.
Well, that assumes that your interpretation of that handwritten note is correct, which is to say that your client could wait out the
from that point in time, correct.
Month period and not buy anything. And how
right.
is that a reasonable interpretation of this contract?
I not only is it a reasonable interpretation, it's exactly what the words say. They are plain. They are almost single syllables. They are
it's
initialed right there.
Contract. The prior sentences mm-hmm. require your client to buy all of his requirements, oil requirements from Quality Oil.
Within 60 months.
Yeah, so any product that he requires,
I understand
he has to
buy
from Quality Oil. So if he's operating as a gas station,
right.
he has to continuously buy from Quality Oil.
And what and the purpose of the handwritten part was my client was saying, look, I may not be able to buy 225 gallons of oil and 225 gallon or branded filters within 60 months. I may not be able to do that. And so they came to this handwritten portion that says, well, if you don't, and it's the end of the 60 months, then...
That's a very reasonable interpretation of the clause, right. but that's not the interpretation that you're arguing. You're arguing that he could... Your client could willfully not buy anything during the 60-month period and not be liable for breach. That's an unreasonable interpretation of the contract.
I say that in the absolute sense because that's absolutely what that sentence says. But above that, which is not inconsistent, if we have motor oil requirements, we're to buy 85% of them.
Right.
Okay. This was not a loan. This was not, I loan you money for 5 years and you pay me back over 5 years or anything of that nature. This was a supply agreement where they wanted to give us an incentive to buy from them in the future and lock us into a supply agreement.
Thank you. Mr. Jaskowiak?
Yes. May it please the Court. The discussion that just preceded me coming up here is exactly what the interpretation of the agreement is, and I think everybody pretty much understands that. The whole idea here is that if the contract is performed for 60 months and the levels are not met, that there would be relief. There is no suggestion, nothing in any of the contract terms would suggest that that particular handwritten term would in any way eliminate the other requirements of the agreement. Thus, it's very clear. It's the Kelly Partners received a check for $150,500. As long as they continued to comply with the terms of the agreement, they were going to have that amount forgiven. And if at the end of 60 months they had otherwise complied with all the terms of the agreement, but they hadn't purchased enough product and they hadn't purchased enough filters, then that would be forgiven. That's the clear intent of the agreement. And that's what the district court found, Your Honor. With respect to the legal matters, I will also say I do not believe there will be anything in the record to suggest what occurred with respect to an assignment issue. I think I understand opposing counsel's logic that because the invoice came at a certain point of time, that meant there was a refusal to consent. There is nothing in the record before the court. There was nothing in the record before the district court that even mentioned any attempts one way or the other about that issue. The record is silent as to that. And to suggest that Quality Oil refused to do that, there's no record evidence to support that suggestion, if that is indeed what's being suggested.
So we don't know whether Kelly's buyer wanted to assume this contract?
There is no evidence about that one way or the other. I don't recall all of the record evidence. Essentially, Your Honor, there was the record evidence consists in large part of a transcript of the trial in the Porter Superior Court in Valparaiso, Indiana, that occurred in 2007. The Court of Appeals of Indiana subsequently determined there was not enough contact with the state to allow the court to exercise its jurisdiction. But the record evidence is essentially the transcript of that trial. I can't tell you off the top of my head whether that issue was discussed or not. I seem to recollect that, well, I shouldn't say because I don't know, but my impression is the client Quality Oil would certainly have been happy to continue to sell product to whoever had taken the place of Kelly Partners in their locations. They would have been pleased to do that. They do that on a number of occasions. But I don't know that that's in the record, one way or the other, Your Honor. Just very briefly.
Do we know that consent to transfer or assign the contract was not requested and therefore was not...
There's no evidence, there's no record evidence to suggest that it was requested.
Okay, so therefore it was not unreasonably withheld since it was...
It was not unreasonably withheld and the district court made no findings that it was unreasonably withheld, Your Honor. Just very briefly, the only other issues I would touch on is that the essence of the appellant's Kelly Partners argument is based an Illinois case. The district court found that Indiana law applied. The parties agreed Indiana law applied, and the district court relied on very clear law that all portions of the agreement have to be harmonized, and there is no, with the exception of negotiable instruments and a specific reference in the negotiable instruments chapter, that the law only applies to negotiable instruments. There's no indication in Indiana law that written terms in any manner supersede any others. I think to a certain extent, Your Honor, that misses the point. The written agreement did not supersede all the other terms of the agreement. Clearly, as the court noted at the end of the appellant's argument, this is very clear what was to happen here. And I've already said that, and I don't need to say it again. Unless the court has any other questions, I don't have any other comments to make.
I guess not.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Roth. Oh, you're out of time. I'll give you a quick minute in rebuttal if you have something else to say.
And I would note for the record on page 12 of the memorandum opinion from the district court, it states in there about how it was that the Kellys requested an invoice of whatever's outstanding. It had to do with the sale of the property, and in response, what they got was an invoice for the full amount of the so-called unamortized portion of the $150,000. And that the court addressed this on the basis of saying that the actions taken by Quality were allowed because it was an anticipatory breach by the Kellys that they hadn't yet assigned or transferred this to the buyer at that moment in time. This was the action taken by Quality saying, you owe us all this money right now. And there was still 36 months left, at least, on the balance of the 60-month term when they took that action without even considering, from our standpoint, whether they would allow it to be put this purchase. A comment was made, they would assign it or consent to assign it to anyone. That's not what the contract says. It doesn't say that they will, under all conditions, assign this and approve transferring this to whomever we sell to for the balance of the term of the contract. It says they have to give prior written consent, and it can be withheld under the unreasonably withheld standard. It's their obligation as plaintiff to prove that they performed all the terms of the contract. They haven't done that. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is taken under advisement.